Welcome to the Property Lovers Podcast by the DG Institute. I'm your host, Dominique Grubisher, and this podcast series is all about giving you a competitive edge in your property journey. We'll be discussing little known strategies, tools, and information to help you add value and create wealth through property. Let's get started. In this podcast episode, we're going to look at what the top six things that you should know are when buying your first property, or indeed any property. So right now, as you know, we've got a changing market. We've got interest rates going up, who knows how much further, but significantly. And we've got really high inflation, but we've got a falling property market. So that's going to be a domino effect. It started in Sydney, moved to Melbourne, and the other states will follow suit. So first thing that you have to be aware of is, how do you get the finance to buy a property? There are a few ways in this climate. So you will realize that banks will raise the bar when it comes to giving you a loan when interest rates rise. So that means that loan repayments are going to be a lot higher. So when interest rates were, when we were paying about 2%, banks would assess you at 5%. They'd say, okay, if rates go up another 3%, they'd add 3% to the rate they were offering you to make sure there was a buffer if rates went up. The buffer is now going to be higher. So they're going to be saying, would you qualify and would you be able to pay 6% or 7%? So it just means that everything shifts. With inflation, they're going to allow a higher amount when they check your serviceability for living expenses. So whereas they had an algorithm called a household expenditure measure, where they'd say, okay, a family of four that have, you know, two dependent children will spend this much a week on groceries, and they just apply those high level amounts to everyone's situation. Now the household expenditure measure has gone up because petrol's gone up, groceries have gone up, everything is more expensive. So they're going to allow a smaller part of your disposable income to pay a mortgage, and they're going to raise the interest rate that they stress test your application at, which means probably you'll be able to afford less. Now, that's not a problem because property prices will be falling as well. So as long as you realize that you can get negotiable with your offers in a falling market. So first takeaway is, finance. Get an indicative approval for finance. That means going to a mortgage broker or a bank and saying, if I were to borrow, what could I afford? That's kind of like your budget that you can go shopping with. The other thing to be aware of is, when you're applying for a loan, there's going to be all sorts of serviceability requirements, but a lot of people don't realize that they actually look at your bank statements. So they have special software that links in to look at what you spend each week and how your bank statement looks. So you'll need to prove that, and you'll need to be aware of what the lender is seeing in assessing your application. That means, for example, if you say you have a weekly income of X dollars, they're going to be looking for that amount going into your bank account. And they're also going to look at what you spend each week on peas and potatoes and takeout and what your disposable income is. So as you're getting ready to apply for a loan, just make sure that your bank statements are in order and reflect what you'd want a lender to see when they're assessing you for borrowings. Also be aware that they do credit checks, and it affects your credit report if you've applied for too many loans. So if you get a no on your first application, rather than scattergunning it, which some brokers or lenders will do, it's no skin off their nose to put in a loan application, but it shows as an inquiry on your credit file. And once you get three or four of those, and imagine they're knocked back, because you're just scattergunning, then it starts to impact your credit score. In other words, fewer and fewer lenders will want to lend to you because everyone else is saying no to you. So trick there is you can make an indicative inquiry and you want them to give you an informal answer, but you don't actually want to submit the loan application unless they're sure that you're going to qualify and clear all the bars with that particular lender. So one to watch out for. You don't want to burn yourself with finance before you start. So we've got finance. Tip number two is just watch serviceability, bank statements, loan assessment criteria and get your ducks in a row. Number three is get to know your area really well. So if you've got an indication of what you can borrow, what you can spend, and you're looking at apartments in the $500,000 range in a certain suburb, you want to look at seeing 50 of those before you even make an offer on one, because you want to know what things are selling for, what's possible, and you want to be comparing apples with apples, or you want to know how you can add value or what's possible if you're buying a property. For example, if you've seen lots of renovated apartments selling for 600 and they're two bedders in older style blocks, and you can buy an original condition one for 400, then you know that you might be able to make that worth $600,000. But you'll only know that if you know what you're looking for, if you've been on the ground a little while and you've got, by osmosis, you've soaked up a lot of data. So agents will tell you things if you're showing up at open for inspections. They'll start to ring you in a colder market because they want to drum up business and buyers. So gone are the days where agents didn't even call you back because they had a string of buyers lined up for a property as soon as it came on the market. Now in a buyer-friendly market, they're going to be chasing you saying, why don't you make an offer? Why don't you just come and have a look? I've got another property for you. So ride that wave. It's a good time to be in the market looking to buy. The other thing when it comes to being an area expert, show up. Get to know agents, but also get to know your competition. Who's looking in this market? What are they looking for? And how can you meet the market? So if you see that two-bedroom apartments are really, really popular amongst, you know, empty nesters or whatever, it gives you a better overview of the value of what you're buying and your potential value-add strategies or exit strategies. And you only get that by being on the ground. The other thing to be aware of is that there's a lot of software and artificial intelligence out there now and data information about properties. So if you don't have some research tools to know what property's selling for, what its value is in this market, what the demographics of a suburb are, all that sort of stuff, then you don't have a competitive advantage. So have a look at upping your skill level and your knowledge by getting the right data and information. The other thing to remember, so that's four that we've got already. We've got becoming an area expert, we've got sorting out your finance, we've got watching your bank statements and your serviceability. And the fourth one I want to talk about is negotiating competitively. So a lot of us think, well, they're asking for 500, but it's a falling market and I can be a little bit cheeky here, so I might offer 470. And we think that that's fair because we've taken their asking price and we've discounted it a bit. A better way to do it is to know your data, have your information, and forget about their asking price. What's it worth to you? And you'll only know that by being an area expert. And you might say, yeah, it is worth 500 probably now, but we're going to have further rate rises. And I've got to factor in that I want to do a renovation and construction costs are up and tradie costs are up and everything's going to cost a whole lot more. So I want to only pay 420. And you can afford to be competitive in your offers. And when you know your information and you're an area expert, you can put out lots of offers. I look at it like throwing confetti, just scattergun offers out. You might have to make 20 offers to get one accepted. But again, it's no skin off your nose. Just get a thick skin. So negotiate effectively and competitively in this market. Be bold about it as a buyer. If you're a first home buyer or a single parent or one of the relevant categories, you may be eligible for government assistance and maybe even a government grant. So there are guarantees, government guarantees for first home buyers and single parents where they will guarantee 15% of your deposit. In other words, you can buy a property with only a 5% deposit if you qualify for a grant. There's also concessions on stamp duty at the state level and lots of other ways that the government wants to help you into buying a property. And the final thing to consider is what I call rent vesting. So sometimes we're so desperate to get into the property market and we think, wow, there's a little window of opportunity here. The market's falling, it's dipped. So I just have to buy something and maybe I stretch myself. And then we find ourselves between a rock and a hard place because we can't afford where we would want to live as a home buyer. But we may be able to afford some intermediary step. So don't forget to consider just getting on the property ladder, and it may not be where you want to live, but it's still a step in the right direction. So you may buy a one-bedroom studio in a good inner city area because that's what you can afford and you can get a valuable product at the price that you can afford. Something that will grow in value that you can readily rent out to tenants, and it may not be right for you or where you want to live, but what you can do is get yourself on the property ladder and rent elsewhere. So your dream home may be four bedrooms in a certain suburb that you can't afford at the moment, even in this friendly market, but what you can do is rent that and still get on the property ladder buying an investment property. Don't discount it because you can't afford where you want to live. A lot of people, it's very common in Europe, they don't buy, they don't own. It's just not a thing that people do. In Australia, we have a mentality that our house is our castle, we have to buy a home, and you've somehow failed if you can't own the roof over your head. Not the case. It's just a systemic paradigm shift that you have to buck the trend and say, it doesn't matter. I don't have to own the home I live in, but if I'm interested in property and I want to own some, I can buy anything. So there we have it, six tips for getting into the market right now, especially if it's your first property. Watch the finance, get just an indicative toe in the water of what you could afford so that you know where and how to go shopping. Secondly, get your ducks in a row because you know that they'll be judging your serviceability, your ability to pay your loan at a much higher level. Become an area expert, and that means just showing up, getting to feel a market on a Saturday morning at every open. I say to people, see 20 homes every Saturday. In a month or 5 weeks time, you would have been through 100 properties, and that's a really quick way to get up to speed with the temperature and the feel of a market. While you're visiting properties, you're also going to meet a lot of agents who are going to be chasing you in this market. But also consider investing in property data and analytics so that you have cutting edge, up to the minute information and have a competitive advantage over everyone else. Numbers will be important in this market, and you want to get a really good deal for a really good price, which brings us to the next point, which is negotiate really well. Don't just take the asking price or the agent's indication as an anchor and offer something below that. It's irrelevant what they want for it. What's relevant is what it's worth and what it's worth to you. And make cheeky offers, make lots of cheeky offers because sellers are quite motivated right now. Check if you're eligible for state or federal government grants or guarantees on your deposit, stamp duty exemptions, all that sort of stuff. And finally, don't be wedded right now to buying a property to live in if that's not something that's really in your foreseeable future. Sometimes our wish list and our dream residence is something that's out of our reach when it comes to ownership, but there's no reason and there's nothing wrong with renting your dream home, but still getting on the property property ladder with another investment or purchase that you would never, ever live in. Doesn't matter. It's still accumulating real estate, which is a fabulous investment, as we property lovers know. So that's it for this episode of our podcast. If you want to know more, especially when it comes to the right tools and data, check out our Property Buyers Toolkit, which goes into a lot more detail about the information that you need when considering your purchase, and also gives you the software and the analytics to become an area expert and negotiate really competitively. So that will be at the link below, as well as in the comments and description section. If you're enjoying this podcast, we want to invite you to join the Property Lovers Facebook group. To find the group in Facebook, just search for Property Lovers. You'll see the group banner, which has the word Property Lovers Hub on it. It's a community for property lovers in Australia, and just like this podcast, it's been created to give you a competitive advantage so you can get superior results in property. Please come and join us today. And for any other information and all your property needs, please visit our website, dginstitute.com.au, because we've got a lot of other giveaways that can support you on your property journey. Things like negotiation, mental toughness. We've got a lot of mini courses there that can get you in the right space to hit the ground running when it comes to property acquisitions. That's it for today, but really looking forward to giving you more tools, more strategies, more support, and a competitive advantage when it comes to property in our next episode.